Hello and welcome to Flora Funga Podcast with your host KK. This week we finally release the episode with Eva Gordon on fungal zoology. She has a new book in the works, so make sure you stay tuned to hear all about her new book. And why do we love the word zookery? And also, what is the poop squad and who does that all include? And if you are a fan of watching the podcast on YouTube, Eva actually has a presentation up, so there's tons of visuals. This is an audio and a video episode. All right, let's jump into it.
If you were to take away everything from the planet, trees, mountains, everything, you would see a ball of nematodes.
Hello, Eva. Welcome to Flora Funga Podcast today. I was so excited to see you at OP Fungi Fest. I've never really had a presentation that I went to that kind of covered the side of mushrooms or fungi with animals. And I found that your fungal zoology presentation was very, very different, and I really liked it. So I wanted you to be on the podcast. So thank you for being here today. Let the listeners know who you are and kind of how you even got into flora and fauna and funga.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited to be on the podcast to talk about fungal zoology. And it's kind of based on the book I'm writing called Animal Mycophiles, animals that hunt, grow, use them for medicinal reasons, and get even high on mushrooms. But there is a plant connection because, you know, these relationships are really tied to what I call the ecological trinity, the flora, funga, fauna. So it's all connected. But my background is in zoology. And during the COVID lockdowns, I really got into bird watching and photography. And I got frustrated because the birds would not stand still for a good photograph, right? They don't do that real well. So I fired birds and I started looking on the ground and all these beautiful mushrooms coming out of and everywhere. And I just said, this is cool. And then I started looking at them, and identifying them and joining clubs. And I joined NAMA and I eventually got on their education committee. And NAMA is the North American Mycological Association. And I'm currently the co-chair because of my background in education.
Right.
So I'm trying to tie everything together. And I just took off and mushroom books are everywhere. I got mushroom clothes, mushroom decorations. It's insane. I don't know what happened to me. I think a spore got in my brain. It took over. So, And I've decided I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to fungal zoology.
I talk about this all the time at farmers markets, that mushrooms are so trendy right now. Like, you can get anything. I mean, I did a presentation a few weeks ago and they got this poster and then gave it to me for free after. And they're like, you'd probably use this more than we will. But you can find, you know, there's pot holders and everything mushroom garb related. So it's everywhere.
Yeah, even mushroom stress balls.
Yep. Yes, we all need one of those.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell me about how like animals and fungi kind of evolved together. Was that like, you know, a thing that happened, or was it plants then mushrooms and then animals was with plants, or how did that kind of go?
Yeah, it's all interconnected. Mushrooms, of course, they want their spores dispersed. And there's no better way than what we call zookery. And zookery is animal dispersal of seeds and spores. And so it was a win-win situation where the animals would eat the mushroom, and then the spores would go through their digestive system and sometimes get pooped out and then dispersed far, far away. And then And other times the spores carried on their fur or their legs. And
Right.
so it's a win-win mutualistic relationship between the two. And it's all related to plants too, because in my research, I discovered that even pollinators, if the plant has a really good arbuscular relationship with fungi, and I think your viewers probably know what that means.
Yeah, a
Yeah,
little
a
bit. I think some
little bit.
moles.
Yeah, they grow within the roots. And plants who have this fantastic relationship with fungi end up producing better flowers and fruits for the pollinators. So it's all interconnected. I'm just amazed that, there's so much, and it's all undiscovered. I mean, there's studies at university levels, but people just aren't aware of all these things that are happening with the animals and the mushrooms.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that at the festival, how little books there kind of are on this topic. So why do you kind of think that?
I don't know. Probably, I think the focus has been on edibles, of course. People like to forage. And then another focus is the psychedelic side of mushrooms. And there's photography, and I've seen some fantastic photographs of animals eating mushrooms. But I researched and looked for books on fungal zoology, and there's nothing. There's studies here and there, but it's very limited. There isn't that much. So I thought, well, I'm just going to write a book about this.
Do we want to cover some of these fun interactions and surprise some people with the connections of animals and fungi?
But I think I like how you labeled me fungal zoologist. I think I'm going to keep that.
Do it. I like it.
Introduce myself as a fungal zoologist.
Yes.
So.
Zookery is such a fun word.
It is. And I don't think I've ever seen it on Jeopardy, but it should, if they still have Jeopardy, I don't even know, but that should be one of those. Can you imagine if they had a category called Zookery?
Yes, that
I
would be
would win
awesome.
millions of dollars.
Yes, just plant, fungi, and animal Jeopardy.
So I get into the concept of mutualism, which is both benefit, but actually most of the relationships I saw or research are commensalism as well, which means one benefits and the other is not harmed. So that's kind of okay.
Yeah,
I
good.
really don't cover parasitism and other symbiotic relationships. I figure because that's another book. You can just do a whole thing on diseases
Yes.
and stuff. So, but I mainly focus on mycophagy, which is animals that eat mushrooms, some humans, and they've been eating mushrooms and fungi long before we ever evolved. And same with the farming, fungiculture. They've been farming, for millions and millions of years, and we just kind of discovered it ago. And here's a picture of a little squirrel eating a mushroom. And that's been happening all over where I live. I live on in the Pacific, Northwest. And I've been seeing all these beautiful little amanitas and Russulas. And oh, I'm going to pick it up later on this afternoon. By the time I get back, the squirrels have, and the chickens have just pretty much eaten.
And how do they react to amanitas usually?
They don't get affected. They have their gut has a way to break down the enzymes that would naturally cause them to have a severe poisonous reaction or
Okay.
even so. So these animals have evolved to eat even poisonous mushrooms. So if you see an if you're lost in the woods and you see a cute little squirrel eating something, don't assume you can eat it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, survive. But and then humans are animals, right? So humans are the animals that we know the most in terms of mushrooms eating and that farming. But even Neanderthals ate mushrooms. They they found the DNA of certain species of mushrooms in their dental tartar, which is kind of gross because they didn't have dental cleaning back then. So, you could probably find that tartar in every person too, unless you get a lot of teeth cleaning. So many species, like we were mentioning, are a lot of animals are adapted to eating poisonous mushrooms, and because their physiology, even though we're mammals, a lot of mammals can eat poisonous mushrooms that we couldn't eat. And here's an example of a little, they're both eating Amanita muscaria without any problems.
Just a little slug and the squirrel.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's like a fairyland out there. It's like, yeah. So, and then here's my favorite word, Zucchini.
Zucchero.
Is defined as a dispersal of seeds and fungal spores by animals. And so I kind of the focus will be on how fungal spores are spread by animals. And this is a really good thing for mushrooms because that's how they travel around the world. Like everybody says, well, how do these native species of in Europe get to America or from China and all that? And a lot of it could be animals. I mean, we have bats and birds are really good zookery. So, think of migrating birds. That's one really good way to spread fungal
That's
spores.
true. World travelers.
Little travelers, airplanes. Yeah. Zookery. And there's two major groups in zookery. There's the endozookery, spore dispersal via the gut of the animal. So the animal actually eats it and then poops it out, and then the spore is dispersed. And another way is ectozookery, which means outside. So the spores are carried by the animal's feathers or fur or little antennae. So it's just that's why there's so many mushrooms everywhere, thanks to the animal transport system. Yeah. And also I kind of looked at animals and compared them to humans. Because animals perceive the world in an entirely different way. Like some insects can step on your pizza and taste it, So we can't do that. We have to actually put it in our mouth. But so when it comes to how animals find fungi, I discuss a term called umwelt, which is how they perceive the world, and they perceive the world in an entirely different manner than the way we perceive the world.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, and they're the big thing is they're attracted to smells. We humans aren't very good with our sense of smell, but these animals can pick up all sorts of, volatile organic compounds that we could never detect. And so, yeah, the sensory world. I recommend this one book here, An Immense World by Ed Yung. It's really good. He talks about how all these different animals perceive the world, and because yeah, and some animals pick up on vibrations and other things that we would never even consider.
Yeah, that's so true with even like the root systems and how fungi kind of m could move toward like the lower vibrations of root systems or what's happening underneath the ground.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, there's so much research that's needed in this area.
Absolutely.
And, being a former biology teacher, I always like to simplify and use metaphors. So I talk about how a mushroom is like a restaurant in that they have to have a good location for the animals to find them, right? So they have to be, in a nice shady area that, animals can scurry around. They use bioluminescence to attack insects and other critters. They have a large vegetative body, or reproductive body that's very attractive and delicious looking. And then the customers spread the word. That's like how zookery. And then you have an underground network, which is a supply chain, such as nutrients, and they're all working with plants. I'm not ignoring plants. Plants are there. Critical, yeah.
Plants are where it's at too.
Yeah.
That's a cool
So,
visual.
yeah. And then and also the mushrooms send off these aromatic volatile chemicals. Just like, a bakery would, you can smell the fresh bread and the cookies and all that.
Yes.
So that's what it's like, being a little animal scurrying around. And you smell like, oh, that smells so good. Yeah. Yeah. And if you have any questions, you
Perfect. Yeah, no, it reminds me of a Disney World where they like pump specific scents so people want to buy things.
Oh, really? I didn't
Yeah.
know
Yeah, they
that.
have like a bakery smell or like a sweet smell.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a weird fact.
Wow. That gives me ideas about selling books,
There, ooh, there
You
you
could
go.
put the
See?
scent of
We just gotta use
bread,
it.
cookies, yeah. So basically, I like to say fauna, fungi too. I'm not ignoring the flora, they're important, but animal fungi relationships play a vital role in nutrient cycling, decomposition, and soil formation, while animals contribute to spore dispersal and nutrient redistribution.
Wow.
So, and I pretty much in my research, I've researched from worms, nematodes to elephants and
Yeah.
few things in between, even primates, because primates are like humans. So, but
Yeah, what would you think about underwater animals? Do you think that they would use spores or fungi at all, or?
I think so. And that's an area, marine fungal zoology is an area that's completely open and ready for research. I know those nudibranchs eat other organisms that might have bits of fungi in them. So, and when they're eating, or scraping off coral, there could be fungi there too. So we don't even know what's going on
Oh,
there. So,
wow. It could go so deep.
we can go deep. I mean, you can go deep, deep, deep down that hole. Yeah, especially with nematodes, there are marine worms as well, so you don't know what's going on down there, because it's mostly microscopic too.
Right.
So, yeah. But I start with roundworms, which are the most common animal on Earth.
Okay.
If you were to take away everything from the planet, trees, mountains, everything, you would see a ball of nematodes.
Whoa.
That's how many there are.
Oh no. It's
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
a little
Fortunately,
disturbing.
a lot. These are mostly free living nematodes that, deal with fungi, but
Gotcha.
we don't talk about the disease causing ones. But and then sometimes the tables are turned where mushrooms such as the oyster mushrooms will actually consume nematodes.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard how they wrap them around and bring them in and start digesting them.
Yeah, no, that's such a fun fact that mushrooms like capture nematodes and like other
Yeah.
small things.
Yeah,
Crazy.
you're eating me, I'll eat you. Yeah, and this is really important too because when they don't have enough nitrogen or nutrients, they can rely on nematodes to provide all that extra.
Oh,
Yeah.
whoa.
So,
Carnivore.
oyster mushrooms are amazing because they'll eat anything, even plastic.
Yeah, that is like the biggest thing with micro-remediation, like cigarette butts and
Everything, yeah.
plastic and oil.
Yeah, this is just. And that's amazing research right there. There's like you can go into that hole and never come out. Yeah, I love that. So, yeah, just going to skip over that part. And then another type of nematode no known as lungworms are parasitic and often share a commensalism relationship with the fungus Palobolus. That's the one that shoots out spores like a rocket ship.
Oh, yeah.
They're amazing. And these nematodes get a free ride because the cows eat the grass with the eggs, and then the nematodes are digested out. And cows don't like to graze next to their poop, they move
Right.
away. So the nematodes are kind of stuck. to infect grass. And so the palobolus fungi grows in the poop. And so the nematodes are embedded in the spores, and the spores are released. And so they can go back to infecting the cows by being closer to them in the grass. So, not a good thing, but that's something that ranchers should pay attention to.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
So
Good, bad,
maybe,
and the ugly.
yeah, get rid of the palobolus,
The
I guess. Yeah.
fun word though,
Yeah,
palobolus.
it is a fun word. Yeah. So earthworms are another group that I kind of look at. And mostly with earthworms, they have sort of a relationship where they both help recycle and decompose. And earthworms really love compost that's full of, fungi. So pretty good with that. And then one of my favorite groups are the gastropods, snails and slugs. And they're just amazing. They love to eat mushrooms. And these are a few of the mushrooms I've taken, I mean, the slugs I've taken pictures of.
Yeah, I like that little saying back there too. Slimes slows down when you're having fun with fungi.
Slugs and snails are just amazing. They're totally alien to us. They have eye stalks they're used for seeing, and they use their eye stalks for smelling, yeah, and tasting and feeling. And of course, the snails have the protective shell, and the slugs don't. But other than that, they're still gastropods.
Why would they evolve? Why would slugs be evolved to not have a shell? Like, what would be the advantage of that?
Well, that's a good question. And I guess the gastropod without the shell probably evolved first. And then the mantle, which is only found in mollusk, started creating a shell, with extra calcium, and that's very protective. And so snails go out in the daytime because they can go inside their shell if somebody's trying to eat them. But the slugs come out mostly at night, and so in the daytime you'll find slugs like really deep in the litter in the shady areas. So they're kind of like, the sneaky ones. The snails with the shells are kind of all out in the open saying, not you, but you can't mess with me because I'm
Wow, that
a
makes a lot
shell.
more sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus they move by creating slime, and they literally just create like a slide of slime so they can just travel. Yeah, so it's kind of cool. And then they have a super tongue called the radula. And that's why if you look at the mushroom, like the Russula and the Amanita, it's got all these little weird scrapes. And that's from the snail scraping away.
Oh, weird.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, that's why I fall in love with each type of animal I'm doing research on.
Yeah, they're all so niche.
You can see the demarcations, slug and snail, mycophagy. Yeah, mycophagy eating mushrooms. So, okay, and they'll eat any type of mushroom. They're not too choosy.
Nice. Is that a wavy cap?
I think so. Yeah, it's
Nice.
like a wavy cap. And then we have a morel. So a lot of competition. I mean, you better get up early and get to your edibles before they do.
Yeah, no, I like to say that insects like mushrooms more than we do, so it's really hard to find
Yeah.
clean edible mushrooms for, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I brought in a beautiful Amanita I found, and I was going to dry it and all that, and I forgot about it. And it came the next day, and it was like worms everywhere. So larvae and left
Oh
a black stain. It
no.
was so gross.
Oh no.
It's the grossest thing I've ever had to clean up. And
Oh
I've had a lot of pets, so
yeah.
I'm a devotee of iNaturalist, which I'm sure
Yes.
you are too.
We love that app.
Yeah, and I have there's a great site on iNaturalist. It's a project for molluscan mycophagy. So if you ever want to look for pictures of snails eating mushrooms, you go to this page. Or if you find the only problem is there, you have people that love snails and people that love mushrooms. So sometimes it's hard to get identification for one or the other.
Yeah.
I guess there's not experts in both fields. Well, there probably are, but I wish they. So, and then of course I go into the insects, Arthropoda and fungi. Love that. And at first I thought, oh, I have to talk about flies. Ugh. But flies are really, really important spore vectors or spore dispersals. So the flies are really important in decomposition, pollination, and as food for other animals, as well as studies in forensic sciences. Because you can tell how long the body's been there based on, the development of the fly, the botfly. But here we have the good. So that's the good, the bad. Not good for mushroom farm people. And certainly not good when you go out and you go, oh, I love this mushroom. I'm going to take it home and eat it. And all these larvae come out. That's no fun. And the ugly, they can carry diseases as well. So, but if it's a healthy fly, I can't imagine the larvae harming you in any way. So go ahead and eat the extra protein.
We love the protein.
Yeah. And then the flies also have superpowers. They have these huge compound eyes and they could see nearly 360 degrees. So, if you're trying to swap a fly, they know you're coming.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they lack chewing parts, so they drink their food. So they'll sit on a mushroom and, start drinking it. The enzymes will start dissolving it. And flies can taste with their feet. That's called chemosensilla, or taste receptors on their feet. They regurgitate the enzymes and slurp it up. Fungal gnats are different than regular flies, and they tend to walk rather than fly. And they're a real problem for mushroom farmers. But they're great for the environment. I mean, I'm kind of on the animal side, but I understand why farmers get mad.
But then, like bats and every, other things, I'd eat those.
Yeah, it's all a cycle, so you can't just eliminate all of them. So we all love stinkhorns, and
Yes, we do.
stinkhorns want to be pollinated, or they want to be their spores dispersed, so they make themselves smell really bad and attracts flies and other insects as well, beetles. They have this thing called glebe with sticky smelling mass on the spores, and flies love that.
Oh, yeah.
And do you know who finds the most corpses in the woods, in the wild? Dead people?
Who? What?
Mushroom foragers. That's
Oh, yeah, that's
a
true.
little factoid. So, because, we're on our hands and knees looking through the litter, right? And you might find a bone. So
That's
I thought that was,
true.
yeah. And another bad factoid is a lot of people that go missing are also mushroom foragers. So
Yeah,
make sure you
that's
have GPS.
also
But,
true.
yeah. So, and then there's, I go a little bit into Amanita muscaria and Musca domestica, everybody's heard of the fly agaric, that the fly agaric kills flies and all that. So.
Yeah,
But
no.
what really happens is, I guess the muscimol, or it actually makes them drunk. And since they're swimming around in a, in a bowl of milk, because they usually mix the milk with bits of fly agaric, and they get drunk and then they drown. But if you were to remove the flies before they drown, and after they get out of their stupor, they just kind of fly away.
Just too drunk to stand
Yeah,
up.
teach them. Yeah, stand up and get out of the water. And then these are really common springtails, which are not insects. And these are just really cute. The first time I saw them under a dissecting microscope, it's like, this is a totally different world. I always see these teeny little critters. I don't know where they are. And then if you look closer and you're closer, they look really bizarre. They love them mushrooms.
Never seen them up close.
I know. Yeah, you got to get a little microscope, look at these buggers. And then there's flat bugs who eat mycelium. Just as there are a lot of insects that eat, the fruiting bodies, there's a lot that like to eat the underground mycelium. And this one also has a sucks up the juices from mycelium. So, and then of course there's the farmers, the ants, beetles, and termites. They're obligate mushroom farmers. They're totally dependent on their mushrooms, and they have this they're social insects, and they have special senses. They their sense of smell can detect anything, even danger, and of course
Whoa.
food. And they have the sense of touch is amazing. They can identify the temperature and the wind direction. These are senses that we don't have. I mean, we could probably develop these.
I
I think there's
wish.
could be a tool how to develop your sense of smell.
Yeah, smelling danger, that'd be cool.
Yeah, smelling danger. Yeah, I have an idea of this is crazy, a wacko idea of training dogs to differentiate between edible mushrooms and poisonous edible mushrooms.
Yeah,
That would be amazing.
that would.
But yeah, hopefully somebody will hear this and go,
Yeah,
oh,
right.
I think I need my
Yeah.
dogs.
Yeah.
So
That'd be neat.
hearing, they communicate with each other. Taste, of course, they can detect food and other things. They even can detect magnetic fields. And here I'm mostly talking about ants because ants go far distances. And the ants have a caste system. So, and I have this quote, unity is strength, where there is teamwork and collaboration, wonderful things can be achieved. And I have this quote, Matty Stepanek was a little boy and he died of cancer, but he was coming up with all these great philosophical quotes. So I thought, this kind of pertains to ants. And there's different types of ants, new categories. The minimums are the tiny little ones, workers. Then we have the minors, which are slightly larger, the media, and then the majors, which are the largest worker ants, and they serve as the soldiers. So all these different groups, they cooperate. I think a lot of times at least when I was going to school a million years ago and ecology and stuff, there was too much on competition between different animals and different species and all this and that. But now I think the new thing, mantra is cooperation. So rather than saying there's a hierarchy where, these lesser ants are not as important, it's all cooperation.
Right, working together.
So then we have the beetles, and the beetles are also really good at farming. There's a lot of them. And these guys have developed a special little pouch called a meckangium, and they carry spores and bits of mushroom there. So and then we have termites, and termites build these huge mounds, and beneath there's they're farming their little mushrooms. And I just put this picture up because a lot of people, when they see an ant, they might think it's a termite or vice versa. So termites have straight antenna and a broader waist. They look like an overweight ant, and then the ants have a really skinny waist and bent antennas. The huge mushroom that the
Yes.
termites farm. Yeah, you've seen pictures of that guy
Yeah,
holding
that guy
that.
carrying a big mushroom and then like feeding its
Yeah.
family or something. That's
Yeah,
crazy.
I think that's my next. Oh, this shows you the underground. So all this stuff is going on for millions and millions of years. And we just started mushroom farming, what, 5,000 years ago?
Yeah,
Like that.
something like
So
that.
they have it down to a science. And
Yeah, that's the picture.
the one, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is so
We had
big.
to cook that fast. I know. I guess that's why it's called Titanicus. And then here's the poop squad.
Yes, poop squad.
Poop squad, yay. So people get excited when they see cow patties because they're thinking, oh, psilocybin, that sort of thing. But mushrooms love growing on PCs. Well, it has a lot of nutrients and needs to be decomposed. And here's the members of the poop squad. We've got psilocybin cubensis, inosipes, panosipes, paniolas, and of course, everybody's favorite member of the poop squad, Palobolus, the hat thrower. You can see videos of the spores being shot out. The launch speed is close to 30 feet per second, almost 20 miles per hour.
Wow.
I think one of your questions is, what did you not expect to find? And
Yeah.
one of them is, I had no idea that pollinators are great fungal spore dispersers, because even though they may not be eating it, it gets caught in their feathers. In the case of a bat, their fur. So, but there is a connection, bees and fungi connection. Paul Stamets is doing research on how bees that eat extract from certain polypores do better, and also we use fungi to prevent colony collapse disorder, which is
Yeah.
keeping all the from the varroa mite. So let's see the next slide.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Everything's
Fungus called
connected.
everything's connected. A fungus called meta Rhizelium is used as biocontrol against the varroa mites, which is causing collapse. So, yay.
Yeah,
I
one of
guess it's like their penicillin, you know?
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's actually that's a good point. I have
Yeah.
a question. The way that bees carry pollen, that's kind of it's different than how they carry spores, or could that be, kind of the same mechanism by where it's carrying
Yeah.
pollen versus spores?
Yeah, and they're doing both. So probably along with the pollen, there's a little bits of spores in there as well. So they're great little taxi drivers for seed and spore dispersal. And then here's I was mentioning arbuscular fungi earlier, and milkweed, which is the only one of the only plants that the monarchs eat. If the milkweed has a really healthy arbuscular fungi relationship going on, then they get higher concentrations of this chemical called carotenoids.
Yes.
And monarchs need those because those carotenoids, the toxins help protect monarchs from predators. They won't eat them because it tastes toxic. And so if the milkweed has a good supply of these fungi, then they produce more carotenoids, and then the monarchs do better.
Yeah.
So
Wow.
it's
Yeah.
easy. Yeah. And so, and I've been meaning to talk to contact monarch people, because that's a big movement, right? People are trying to save monarchs,
Absolutely.
and bring these studies up that I've found. And maybe they can go and make sure that the milkweed also has a healthy fungus. Yeah. And then leaving the invertebrates or the spineless creatures behind, I move on to vertebrates and fungi. And even though frogs are don't eat mushrooms, they're predators only. I mentioned people have seen so many frogs next to mushrooms. You always wonder, well, what's the connection?
Yes.
And what it is mushrooms attract insects and frogs eat insects. So, and that's why you find salamanders and newts and frogs near the mushrooms.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so that's like, wow, that's cool. In terms of reptiles, most reptiles, of course, are predators, but a lot of them eat plants and a lot of them eat fungi. So we have the eastern box turtle. I think a lot of the studies on this turtle have been on the East Coast, or Florida, and So look for those studies. Yeah, and this is, and then the eastern blue-tongued lizard. These are all critters that just love eating mushrooms. So, and of course, they're going to disperse the mushrooms all over the map. a win-win. And
Win-win.
then I go into birds. I think it's called ornithomycology. That's the whole, there
That's
is a
the
term.
whole word.
Yeah, the whole world. So a lot of studies are being done on birds, and especially birds that enjoy truffles, but there's a whole variety of birds that will eat
Wow.
mushrooms, jays, larks, turkeys, larbirds, cassowaries. I've seen ravens and blue jays eating mushrooms, and so there's a lot of studies. A study in Chile looking at truffles and how birds can digest them, and the spores are in the feces, and it helps the ectomycorrhizal host tree. So again, plants. So it's a win-win for all three kingdoms working together, cooperating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything's connected.
Everything's connected. And I think, oh, before I get into, there's also woodpeckers
Yeah.
create these crevices, and fungi grow there, and insects are attracted to it, and they get a free meal. So it's, yeah. And then mammals, of course. Mammals love mushrooms, all sorts of critters. Squirrels are easy to observe eating and caching mushrooms. So people know that squirrels. Now, a secret little mushroom eater is the vole. And I think that's my favorite mammal in the whole world.
Whoa, really?
So cute. It's like round little face, and they don't have a tail, and they have that pet quality look about them, but they're really good at dispersing these really important spores that have a relationship with mycorrhizal trees. Yeah. And I forgot to have, I'm going to add a slide of the flying squirrel, which also comes down, gets the truffles, and then goes back up in the trees. So, and they're important because the flying squirrel helps with the mycorrhizal trees and the truffles. And they're also food for the endangered spotted owl. Like, yay. So you gotta keep all their habitats intact. So, and here we have I did a lot of research on marsupials because I didn't know they were big truffle eaters down under. And it's like, because I'm totally into North America, but now I'm like, and I've been to Australia, but when I was there, I never cared about mushrooms at that time. So, yeah. And then, of course, pigs love truffle hunting. I do a whole chapter on just truffles, because I think that's mammals are the main dispersers of truffles, which are important. And when I'm talking about truffles, I'm talking about not just the edible truffles, but all of underground mushrooms. Gotcha. Yeah. So, pigs are like dogs. They love finding truffles. Well, dogs are trained to find truffles, but some truffle species emit compounds that contain androsol, a sex hormone found in the saliva of male pigs. So people like to use female pigs, especially to look for mushrooms. And but they cause a lot. Wild boars cause a lot of damage to the whole, because they root and all that. But the ironic thing is that they disperse a lot of spores.
That makes
So
sense.
if they ruin somebody else's backyard and then come through your yard and poop, that poop might grow truffles in
Oops,
your yard.
squad.
So it's kind of a give and take. It's like, yeah, they're bad because they ruin the soil, but they also spread the spores. And after in Europe, boars are especially big problem because they carry truffle spores that have radioactive materials in them. So I was like,
Uh-oh.
uh-oh. Yeah, so they're coming in, and I think it's cesium, some terrible thing, and especially in Northern Europe.
Wow.
So, and supposedly it hasn't affected the edible truffles like in Italy and France, but and They thought it was because of Chernobyl, but in reality, it's from all the nuclear testing that we've been doing for years and years and years. That's where the radioisotopes are coming from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's like,
Classic
oh,
humans.
yeah. And then truffle hunters. I do things on how amazing dogs are. You probably recognize that's my dog.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Mitzi. So, in the olden days, people took pigs out to look for truffles, but Italy has actually made it illegal to use pigs because they do so much damage. And that's
Gotcha.
just
Yeah.
that Nicolas Cage movie Pig. You ever see
Yes.
that?
I'm putting it on my list. I keep forgetting to look into this one, but yeah, Pig with
Yeah,
Nicolas
it's kind
Cage.
of,
Love
it's a Nicolas Cage movie, so it's a little
it.
bit gray. And I don't understand why the story has to do with a pig. In my mind, if I wrote the same movie, I would have called it Dog. But most people use dogs in war.
Right. Because
So.
they won't eat the truffles, but the pigs you
Yeah.
can't really like train out sometimes.
Primates also enjoy mushrooms, as we all know. 22 species of primates. Humans, bonobos, columbines, gorillas, lemurs, macaques, maccabees, marmosets.
Wow.
All sorts of primates love
Yeah,
mushrooms.
so many.
Yeah, and who can blame them? I mean, we eat them.
Exactly.
No monkeys. Here's some. Yeah, I love these crazy looking mushrooms.
Whoa.
Every time I say I'm in love with the vole, or I'm in love with
The
termites, now I'm in love with the buff tufted marmoset because he looks.
buff tufted. Yes.
Yeah, isn't that a crazy looking monkey?
Looks so angry.
It's so angry. It's like, those are my mushrooms. And then
Wow,
Goaty
six.
Marmoset, which is even kind of a weird looking guy. He 63% of his diet is mushrooms.
When I read that, I thought it said 63% of like overall like them living is just eating mushrooms.
Yeah.
Just always eating mushrooms, 63
Always.
all the time.
No. Okay. And then this one. He thought
Whoa.
the other guy was weird. This
Yep.
one's weirder looking. The black snub-nosed monkey, really endangered, spends 95% of its feeding time eating lichens.
Wow, yeah, like
And only
it.
found in China. So, yeah, I can't imagine getting enough food from lichen, It's
Yeah, and then you'd have to digest all that and
right, yeah. But it really, I mean, they'll eat other food. But majority of their food's lichen. Yeah. And then the marsupials down under, Gilbert's potoroo, most 94%, I think it's 94% of its diet is all on, especially truffle-like mushrooms.
Wow.
And it's the most endangered marsupial. So I kind of did a lot of research on a few important marsupials from down under. And then also I ran across, okay, so I thought I was just going to talk about animals that eat and farm and get high, but then discovered that animals actually eat fungi for medicinal reasons.
Yeah.
And I contacted Gareth Patterson, I emailed him because he did in his book he talked about how his elephants, a very rare species, were eating Ganoderma aplodinum, the artist conch, and they were eating it for medicinal reasons.
Wow.
So it helps with the immune response and all that. Same reason why we eat it.
Right.
They eat it. And so they've been eating it for a long time. They'll rip down the branches and take this really tough conch and consume it. And some animals appear to enjoy getting high. That's not Cocaine Bear. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, I did watch that movie. It was crazy.
It was so funny. I found this really good book for my research. It's called Animals and Psychedelics by Giorgio Sammarini.
Yes.
It's a small little read, 88 pages, but he explores animals seeking out psychedelic plants and mushrooms. It's definitely should be on any fungal zoologist book of reads or
Yes.
any of my colleagues. He mostly talks about goats discovering coffee beans and that sort of thing.
Oh, cool.
It's really cool. So,
I'll have to read that.
yeah, and of course the reindeer and the Amanita
Yep.
muscaria.
Oh,
There's
yeah.
so many books, and I'm kind of sifting through the wrong misinformation versus real information, and so there's all sorts of people say, oh, people drink the urine and because
Yes.
has a potent effect, but and then others saying that's not true. So there's a lot of research. But they do love eating mushrooms because in the snow, and they'll just eat anything. And they'll even eat lichen too.
Yep.
And there's goats in, I guess, in the Rockies, and there's a type of lichen. And no one's really done research. This is just mostly information I found that supposedly they eat the psychedelic lichen in the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, and that makes them trippy.
Psychedelic lichen. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
That's
I
cool.
know they found some in South America, but I need to do more homework in that because there's very little information.
That
But
sounds really
and part of the problem is that you'd have to be a mountain climber to collect the lichen and do DNA and all
cool.
that.
Right.
So
Gotcha.
all you lichen researchers, learn how to climb mountains or get someone to climb the mountain for you. So yeah, talk a little bit. So in conclusion, Zucchini is really important for spore dispersal, and it explains why we're getting mushrooms from other parts of the world here in the United States. And people go, oh, this is coming from plants from Europe or whatever, but that's not necessarily the case. Fungi are a major food source for animals. Foraging and mushroom farming has a long history amongst numerous animal taxa. Finding other really interesting things like bonobos recently were discovered to have found a truffle that was just named after the bonobo, a monkey. And so there's a lot of information that I've been finding. It's just a rabbit hole.
Yeah. That's kind of like this
Rabbit
whole
hole.
topic. It's just rabbit hole
It
after
just
rabbit hole, more questions after learning one thing. Thank you for this presentation. That was really nice. And now we
Oh,
can kind of
cool.
get the visual. So if you were just listening to the audio, make sure to check out the YouTube channel as well for this video. What are some of like the challenges that you've kind of found researching in this field or, things that you come across?
Yeah, it's just really challenging because a lot of studies are not backed by real research, so you have to kind of weigh yourself and think, okay, like the lichen and the mountain goats in the Rocky Mountains. That's something that is just word of mouth mostly at this point, but I think there's a lot of
Right.
truth to it. So that's the hard part, is to go through all this stuff, and there's very little research. I thought I would find books on fungal zoology. There's no books. There's nothing out
Yeah.
there. There's mushroom books. I have a chapter on ant farming, for
Right.
example, not a book dedicated to just animal microfiles. So
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you're writing a book on this. So, yeah, give the listeners a little insight of is there, I guess, a specific time that you will be releasing this book, or is it kind of still just in the beginning forms?
it's in the beginning forms right now. I'm in the proposal stage. I've got my book proposal set for publishers and start sending those out.
And what do you think the future will kind of look like for flora, fungi, and fauna? Altogether.
I think the future will look really good if we really pay attention to these relationships. We could probably save the planet, because you imagine if you get rid of a mammal that disperses truffles, then what's going to happen to the trees? What's going to happen to the truffles? And
Yep.
what's going to happen to the predators that eat those animals? It's all, going to fall apart.
Yeah, it's all connected. It's all gonna unravel in front of our eyes.
So it's really important to have habitats for these animals that people don't even think about. You know, like I said, people go on walks and they don't even notice birds, or
That's
they
true.
don't notice wildlife or insects.
Yeah,
So,
even the ants need love.
yes, they need love. Yeah, I'm here to love the animals.
And what advice would you give somebody that's just kind of interested in this topic and want to learn more about fungal zoology?
Well, you could always email me, but I'm hoping that somebody who's going in the graduate school or a young kid will say, "Wow, there's not enough information about pollinators and fungi. You know, this is what I'm going to focus on. I think we need more of that." So
Absolutely.
that's one of my main goals, is to inspire people to take it further, you know, to focus on some species and its connection to fungi and the mycorrhizal trees. And
Well, thank you, Eva, for being on the podcast today. This was really fun, and it was good to see you again. Let people
Yes, thank you.
know where they can find you, or if they want to get a hold of you, or yeah, social media of anything.
Now
Awesome.
I know how to describe myself. I kept on describing myself as a fun gal, but now I can say I'm a fungal zoologist.
Thank you for being on again.
Thank you.
Tired of feeling drained and lethargic? Wish you could boost your energy levels naturally and stay focused throughout the day with no crash? I've been struggling with this problem too. Thank you to Sovereignty's Purpose for the ultimate energy of the day. Imagine a world where you wake up feeling refreshed, alert, and ready to conquer any challenge that comes your way. With Sovereignty, you live your life with purpose. Whether you're tackling a project, powering through a workout, or simply need a pick-me-up during the day, Purpose is carefully crafted with a powerful combination of amazing ingredients like green coffee bean extract, cordyceps, ashwagandha, bacopa, beet juice, hemp blend, green tea extract, cherry, blueberry, broccoli, kale, and turmeric extract. All of this is only 25 calories and 115 milligrams of caffeine with no jitters and no crashes. Harness this adaptogenic blend of benefits in your next smoothie, drink, cocktail, or dessert. Whether you're an entrepreneur, farmer, business professional, or student, Purpose has got your back. No more sluggish afternoons and hello productivity that lasts. Grab your blend with 10% off using the code KK10 on sovereignty.co. That's SOVEREIGNTY.CO and use KK20 for 20% off at checkout.